Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, the US government shut down just over 5 hours ago. It's the first time this has happened in nearly 7 years, after Republicans and Democrats failed to agree a deal to keep the federal government funded. Now, the shutdown will hit some public services. It will lead to hundreds of thousands of federal workers being furloughed. It will delay the release of vital data on the US economy. And of course, all of this comes as EU leaders meet in Copenhagen over a growing threat of Russian incursions into European airspace, as well as long-term financial and military support for Ukraine. In a moment, we'll cross to Copenhagen. But first, let's get the latest on the American situation with Simon Marks, chief correspondent with Feature Story News. Simon, thank you for being with us today. So a final round of voting failed to keep the federal government up and running in the States. So what happens now? What's the state of play today?
Well, the government is shut down, Claire, and that means that certainly in Washington, D.C., for example, all of those famous museums that line the center of the city are going to be closed. The National Zoo will be closed. Tourists heading to the United States that want to visit any attractions that are run by the federal government will find themselves very disappointed. And all non-essential branches of the government basically are being told to stay home. Now, federal government workers have all been paid. Their most recent pay slip took them up until October the 10th. So in terms of money in their own pockets, it won't really hit them until the next payday is due. When the government returns, they will receive back pay when they're brought back to work for all of the payments that they have missed. But this time round, the Trump administration is vowing to approach this shut down differently than it did back in 2019, and that all of the president's predecessors have approached previous shutdowns. They are talking about potentially using this gap as an opportunity to terminate for good a whole array of government programs that are treasured by Democrats, but that the president considers non-essential. And so at the Office of Management and Budget, they have been drawing up plans over the last couple of weeks and telling cabinet secretaries to determine how much deeper to cut the size and scope of the US government. Now, if they follow through on that, there will be potentially tens of thousands, maybe even more than that number, of civil servants that are never brought back to work. And this is one reason why the Trump administration is basically warning Democrats that they are doing not just themselves a political disservice, but potentially their supporters a tremendous disservice by refusing to come up with the votes that the government needs in order to keep the government running and open.
Okay, and the Democrats, of course, saying that the Republicans are calling their bluff on this. But they're both blaming each other. And what was it that the Democrats wanted ahead of this vote on federal funding? They wanted some guarantees in there when it came to things like Medicaid and so on, but they couldn't get that over the line.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, the core issue for the Democrats is the future of healthcare in the United States, and they wanted subsidies that had been included for cuts in the president's big, beautiful spending bill to be retained while the government remained open. They also wanted guarantees that other cuts to the Affordable Care Act, to Obamacare, that could see as many as 4 million Americans ultimately losing their health insurance, that those two would at least not take immediate effect. And the Trump administration refused to blink on those issues. The president saying, look, the big, beautiful bill was passed. It's been signed into law.
Oh, we seem to have lost Simon there. Simon Marks, who's from Feature Story News. But we'll move to the other part of this story now, because Taoiseach Micheál Martin is among EU leaders gathering in Copenhagen in Denmark today for an informal European Council meeting to discuss bolstering European defence and security. And Henry Foy is Financial Times Brussels Bureau Chief. And Henry's in Copenhagen and he joins me from there now. Good morning to you, Henry.
Good morning, Claire.
So all of this began with the mysterious sightings of drones. Then we had the closure of some airports across Denmark. And now it feeds into a situation where the EU might agree this plan to create a drone wall to protect the region from attacks from Russia. That is certainly on the agenda, but it's just one of the issues up for discussion today, right?
That's right, Claire. And today there won't be any formal decisions. This is an informal summit. It's they do this once every 6 months that all the EU leaders come to the capital or a major city of the country that has the presidency, that happens to be Denmark, and have a day of informal talks. As you said, this today is focused on our European defence and Ukraine. On the European defence part, you're right, this follows up from the drone incidents in Denmark, but also, of course, the Russian drone incursions into Poland last month, the Russian fighter jets into Estonia. There are incidents in Romania too. So there's quite febrile atmosphere in Eastern and Northern Europe about what exactly Moscow is trying to do here, this hybrid war, as many are calling it, and sort of destabilization efforts by the Kremlin. And really this realization amongst European capitals that the capabilities they have to defend against drones and the posture they have that's giving Russia this confidence is not good enough and needs to change. And so what happens today is leaders give their ideas, they talk informally, there's not going to be many advisors in the room, it's going to be quite intimate. And then later on this month in Brussels, there's a proper formal summit where hopefully some of these decisions will be taken and written down on paper.
Is it being taken as read that we haven't confirmation who sent these drones into Danish airspace, but is it being taken and understood that this was Russia?
No, there's no confirmation of that. And Danish Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen gave an interview to the Financial Times yesterday where she was quite circumspect on putting the blame anywhere. But she characterized these incidents as part of a trend, part of a wave of attacks that we do know are Russian. And essentially, it doesn't really matter who is destabilizing European security. If it's not good enough, the security provisions to stop it, that needs to change. And so essentially, even though Russia is the obvious suspect, you don't really need to point the finger at them. You need to make sure that our defenses are good enough, regardless of who's the perpetrator.
Now, when it comes to financing Ukraine's war effort, there are big questions around how to raise that money, because the IMF has said that Ukraine needs about 50 billion a year. So part of these conversations will centre too on how to raise that sort of money.
That's exactly right. And the big shift here, of course, is Donald Trump and his administration coming in and saying we will no longer pay for military aid to Ukraine. Essentially, if Ukraine wants our weapons, they're going to have to pay for them. And so that added a huge amount more to Ukraine's annual bill, if you like. And so that's why discussions that over the past few years have steered away from touching this pot of Russian immobilized sovereign assets in Europe, it's close to 200 billion euros, are now coming back into vogue. And essentially, there is a proposal on the table from the European Commission to loan around 140 billion euros to Ukraine, which is the net value of those assets. Russia would still have a claim on them. And what the Commission is saying is, look, if Russia pays Ukraine back in a peace settlement, they can have their money back. If they don't, that money is going to go to Ukraine indefinitely. Mm-hmm. And so that's what leaders are discussing now. There is still some nervousness in many capitals about the legality of this, and indeed the kind of debt pressure you'd be putting on some indebted countries in Europe that would have to essentially back up this loan. But it does seem that the direction of travel, because the financial need is so great, is to tap these frozen assets.
And I heard one reporter today describing the atmosphere in Denmark as though people were spooked by what has happened in terms of these drone attacks that we were speaking earlier, or drone incursions rather. What sort of security is in place there as these dozens of European leaders arrive?
I don't want to be too sort of alarmist. It seems quite calm, frankly, here in the centre of Copenhagen. There's of course the police barriers and the closed off zones, like there is for any major summit in any city at any time. But they have banned all commercial non-military drones from flying this week. There are more precautions being taken in terms of airspace. Other countries, the UK, Germany, Sweden, have moved military assets to Denmark temporarily to help better protect the airspace. I think you are right, though, when people here are quite spooked by the fact that Denmark is seen as quite a solid military power, very pragmatic, very security focused, they're rich, they have good defense spending, they have good capabilities, and yet just a few drones were able to take down their airports, including military airports. And so it's a wake-up call, I think, for Danes that really nobody's safe.
It certainly is. Henry, thank you for joining us from Copenhagen. Henry Foy from the Financial Times. Back to Simon Marks now on the American shutdown, because Simon, the last time we had a shutdown some years ago, some workers who weren't getting paid, let's face it, including air traffic controllers, they downed tools, they called in sick, understandably, some would say, but that affects airport travel, it affects the economy. Is that expected now?
Well, it's definitely possible, and the government is aware of concerns that air traffic controllers in various parts of the country might do that again. So the Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy, is taking whatever steps he can to encourage air traffic controllers to keep showing up for work. But it is precisely that kind of disruption, were it to occur, would affect both incoming and outgoing flights, of course, that will fuel the blame game over this government shutdown. Usually, a government, the Republicans in this case, controlling the presidency, the House of Representatives and the Senate, would get blamed for shutting the government down. They're pointing the finger of blame at the Democrats, but were there suddenly to be incidents relating, for example, to air traffic control, that could certainly change the national political calculus.
Simon Marks, thank you very much for bringing us that. Simon Marks from Feature Story News. Coming up next, Fine Gael presidential candidate Heather Humphreys.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.